All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl hanging out here with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. Going solo today, no Zach Blackerby. Going to be talking to you about a couple different things, Auburn football related, Auburn basketball related. Going to save the basketball for last, but I want to kind of tackle a couple of different things that Athlon Sports has recently put out about the Auburn Tigers. I know that consistently throughout the spring and throughout, I think, early January, a lot of media outlets were starting to come around to the fact that Hugh Freeze is at Auburn and that it's not all gloom and doom after a 5-7 season last year. Some people started to realize, hey, maybe there's something to be had here. A couple of weeks ago on an episode, I talked to you guys about the fact that Philip Montgomery may be one of the more interesting coordinator hires in the SEC this offseason. A few media members have started to kind of sing his praises as he's kind of made his way down to the plains and implemented his system alongside Hugh Freeze. Curious to see what his relationship with Robbie Ashford looks like. Curious to see if Auburn does end up getting a transfer portal quarterback, what that kind of relationship looks like between him and Freeze, and what the system then therefore looks like with all these new pieces that the Tigers have on offense. But Athlon Sports has now maintained a consistent negative stance on the Auburn Tigers. And whenever I say Athlon, I mean Steve Lassan, who is one of the main writers there, at least based on my understanding, for SEC coverage. They don't have a lot of faith in Hugh Freeze or what he's shown through 3 months on the plains. In case you're wondering, what Hugh Freeze has shown through 3 months on the plains is that he can actually recruit, unlike this previous coaching staff who did not really seem to care, at least most of them, the ones that are gone, about recruiting and recruiting at the level that Auburn needs to recruit at. NIL did not seem like a huge factor in what they wanted to do as well. Hugh Freeze has come in and he's completely revitalized things through the transfer portal. He's established the fact that he doesn't necessarily want to continue that trend in upcoming seasons, but he said that it was needed to kind of, you know, strip the cupboard and kind of repair some things here, especially in the trenches for the Auburn Tigers. And he's gone out. He's revitalized this recruiting class that felt sort of dead. He's flipped a lot of kids from previous commitments to different big-time schools like Ohio State, Michigan State, and others. And he's kind of given this program life. And I've seen it firsthand at some of the practices. It's just a completely different vibe. Maybe it's the new football facility. Maybe it's just me trying to think of ways to kind of move past what was last season. But it feels different. And I'm not saying, then Auburn's going to win the national championship just because I think it feels different. I'm just sitting here saying there are more positive vibes around Auburn football than there were at any point over the last two seasons. And I think that's a good thing for the fan base. It's good for the health of the fan base. Athlon is kind of moving past vibes and just looking straight at what's going on in the SEC West. Steve Lassan, like I mentioned, of Athlon recently released his 2023 spring power rankings for the SEC. You can go check out my article about this over at auburndaily.com. Not a whole lot to grab there other than what he said about the Tigers. But Auburn comes in, according to Lassan, at number 11 overall in the SEC in his power rankings. And that is good for dead last in the SEC West. Right above the Tigers at number 10 is Texas A&M. Instead of like giving a big synopsis, Lassan had what to watch on offense and what to watch on defense, and I'll read that for you here. Quarterback Robbie Ashford's development under Coach Hugh Freeze and coordinator Philip Montgomery is crucial, with the second transfer window opening in mid-April. The line is just as big of a concern for Auburn, with four new starters, with three transfers expected to win jobs. A couple of things there. It is, I think, crucial that Robbie Ashford does end up developing under Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery. Something I want to point out here so that maybe I can reference this in future episodes, possibly even in the fall. Auburn and Robbie Ashford getting better is not a guarantee. Let's be clear on that. Robbie Ashford's development in a positive direction is not a guarantee under this new staff. It is assumed by myself and the majority of folks out there that Robbie Ashford, because he has a system that on paper looks like it fits him a little bit better, he's got a guy that maybe works with quarterbacks a little bit better, and he's got a coordinator that's dealt with a Heisman winner in the past, on paper, it's assumed that Robbie Ashford will therefore start to put the pieces together mechanically, get a little bit more sound, get a little bit more accurate. His decision-making in this system will either be simplified or he'll be able to figure it out for himself as this offseason goes along and as he works through fall camp. The assumption, the projection, is that Auburn's quarterback situation gets better because there are better people around him to coach him up. That's not a given, though. And I'm not sitting here saying that one thing or another is going to happen. I just want to point out here, a lot of people are excited, myself included, about what this upcoming season could look like. But there's no guarantee it's going to be sunshine and rainbows and we're just going to breeze through parts of the schedule. It's going to be a rebuilding process. Gus Malzahn left this program in an interesting spot in a couple of different areas, and offensive line recruiting was never that staff's strength. You get a new staff that even ignores it even more. You've got to kind of reestablish things if you're Hugh Freeze and this staff, and whether or not they get that right is up to be decided. Again, I want to reiterate for a final time, just because we think things are going to get better quickly does not mean they're going to. So this, I think, is a fair assessment from Athlon to kind of sit here and say, hey, look, while the momentum's great, while the recruiting is great, while the transfer portal stuff is great, we don't truly know what this team is going to be made of until they step out onto the field. And also, just because there are new bodies in the room doesn't necessarily mean that's an exciting thing. Sure, you got transfers from Purdue and Maryland and Western Kentucky and Tulsa and ECU. That's all great, but are those players truly going to pan out at the SEC level? I'm not saying they aren't. I'm saying that those are fair questions to ask, because if we sit here and we say, man, Gunnar Britton's going to be elite for Auburn on the offensive line. Man, Robbie Ashford is just going to take a leap under new coordinator Philip Montgomery. We're going to start to lure ourselves into a wrong place, I think, when it comes to projecting what the Tigers could do. I'm just sitting here and saying, look, places like Athlon are going to stick out, not even just through the spring, but whenever magazines and the football magazine, preseason magazine culture start to kind of come in waves here in the summer, Athlon, I think, is probably going to stand out among the rest when it comes to predicting what Auburn football is going to do this season. Then there's nothing wrong with that. Just because you have a different stance does not mean it's necessarily the wrong one. It also doesn't necessarily mean it's the right one either. So Steve Lassonde, again, has Auburn at number 11. That's what he said about Auburn and the offense, saying that it's crucial that Ashford gets development. I agree with that. What he said on defense, new coordinator Ron Roberts inherits a solid foundation, especially in the secondary where the Tigers return cornerbacks DJ James and Nehemiah Pritchett. How fast can Roberts find replacements for standouts Derek Hall and Cubby Wooden up front, along with linebacker Owen Papo? I want to say a couple of things here. With the plethora of transfers coming to aid Auburn with their losses on the D-line, I think there's reason to believe, there's an assumption that can be made, that Roberts can revitalize what was a statistically average at best front seven. Auburn was 9th and 12th, respectively, in sacks and tackles for loss in the SEC last season. Sure, you lost two great players in Derek Hall and Cubby Wooden, but once you start to kind of churn the sod a little bit, kind of refreshing things, reset things, is it, at the end of the day, a negative that Auburn has gone out and gotten these different pieces to kind of maybe change things up? Again, I want to say what I said a minute ago. Just because there are new faces does not mean they're going to be better. But at the same time, last year's production was not necessarily the best in a lot of different areas on both sides of the ball. What does Auburn do to change that? What does the staff do to change that with these new players? Right now, it's the spring. We're going to have a lot of talking to do in the summer. We're going to have a lot of things we're going to project, a lot of things we're going to say about different things. A lot of people are going to end up being wrong. Athlon may be one of them, but I think it's fair for guys like Steve Lassonde to point out, hey, look, nothing is perfect on this roster yet. And we've seen program, and he didn't say this, I'm giving this example. We've seen programs like Michigan State try and establish themselves as a program on and through the transfer portal. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin is another great example of this. You cannot sustain elite success trying to get transfer portal players to be the driving force of your program. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not stable enough. You need to set a foundation with recruiting. And Hugh Freeze knows that. So getting all these transfer portal kids in, sure, it may lead to a 10-win season. Who knows? But we also don't know if Auburn struggles on the offensive line again because they brought in a bunch of group of five players to try and compete in the SEC. We don't know if Robbie Ashford is going to get better mechanically. He's been in college for, what, 3 years now? He's been throwing around the ball for 3 years in college. Does he truly get better mechanically? Again, I'm not saying he doesn't, just asking questions. Does Auburn's run game improve to where it has more consistency and gets more of a push? Does the offense schematically get better, or is it more erratic? Does the defense finally figure out how to plug some of these holes up front with some of these new transfers and a defensive coordinator that thrives on stopping the run and creating turnovers? Two things that Auburn did bad last year. Do they actually try and make these things happen, and do they achieve it? We don't know. And until we get a better idea of seeing what this team looks like in the spring, seeing what this rotation of on the lines looks like in the fall, until we actually get to see this team step out onto the field and play, there's a lot of speculation. And so whenever you see things like this from Athlon, you're going to see a lot of negative response. Oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're saying about this team. Nobody does. Nobody does that this early in the game. It's the reset from last season. We're still in that process. Spring practice is underway, but we've not seen a single team take any sort of scrimmage snaps in any sort of spring game yet. Even then, you can't come to any sort of major conclusions about what a roster is going to do with an upcoming schedule. We just can't do that yet. So again, I appreciate guys like Steve Lassonde. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not confirming, yep, Auburn's in a bad spot, because again, I want to reiterate, things are different. The vibes are better. The recruiting is better. But we've yet to see the product on the field improve because we haven't gotten to that point yet. So let's take time and pause before we actually get to that place. There's another article that Steve Lassonde put out. And I think that for now, it's somewhat fair. But if we're projecting and we're predicting, I think we may end up with a little bit of a different result. Pause for water. I get really parched doing these sometimes. He also released an article, and you can see this over at auburndaily.com as well. Auburn football's Robbie Ashford is ranked the worst quarterback in the SEC, according to Lassonde. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to say similar things to what I just said a minute ago, which is, holy cow, I cannot believe he's got Robbie Ashford as the worst, because you've got new staff and improved offensive line, all these different things. On paper, Ashford should get better. Here's what Lassonde had to say about Robbie Ashford. New head coach Hugh Freeze didn't land transfer in the first portal window, leaving Ashford, Holden Gariner, and TJ Finley to battle for the top spot in the spring. Ashford showed flashes of potential in 2022 and ranked second among SEC quarterbacks in rushing yards, 709. But the Alabama native is a work in progress as a passer, 49.2% completion percentage and a 6.5 yards per attempt passing. Ashford's numbers, we've talked about him before on this show. We've talked with Dylan Lark about the potential of this kid looking past his numbers. I've said a lot about Ashford already on this show just 3 months into the year. Not even 3 months in the year. But I want to be clear again. Lassonde saying that Ashford is the worst quarterback in the league is fair on one front. Last year, you know, he only got to start, 10 games? Didn't get to start every single game, had to split time with TJ Finley for a portion of the season. Statistically, I don't know how much he would have improved if he had gotten to start all 12 of those contests. Probably wouldn't have been much. But you look at his overall numbers, he didn't eclipse 2,000 yards passing. He was a sub 50% completion percentage guy in the SEC last year, which is straight up not good. I mean, that's bad. Like, objectively, that is bad. 6.5 yards per attempt, also not good. Downfield, when it came to chucking shots deep, it wasn't particularly the accuracy that Ashford had, but it was just sometimes Auburn's long balls hit. Auburn had to. Auburn was an all-or-bust team on offense last season, and more often than not, they busted immunity. But Ashford, as the signal caller of that offense last season, didn't really show a whole lot of development. I think that schematically, once Carnell Williams got a hold of what this offense was, Ashford improved. Once Auburn started running the ball more, they started to improve. He started to improve. As a passer, C was still erratic. He was inconsistent. He was not accurate as a thrower up until we saw that game in the Iron Bowl. And while he still was not particularly accurate in that game, it's one of the most beautiful throws I've ever seen live in a game that he threw to Javaris Johnson in the corner of the end zone. But it was the flashes, right? It was the glimpses of potential. Even LaSan pointed that out. But it all comes back to, at the end of the day, well, what are some of the other numbers compared to some of these other SEC quarterbacks from last season? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't think that Missouri's Brady Cook is a good quarterback. I don't think that A.J. Swan for Vanderbilt is a particularly good quarterback either. But the reality of the situation is, statistically, they were a little bit better than Ashford in some other departments last year. Excuse me. A.J. Swan had about 400 yards less passing than Robbie Ashford. He also was right there at the same in yards per attempt. But he had 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And Ashford had 7 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. He was less turnover prone. He was more accurate by almost 10%. His quarterback rating was significantly higher than Robbie Ashford was last year. So while A.J. Swan may be playing for Vanderbilt, and everybody's going to want to dog the Vanderbilt quarterback for playing at Vanderbilt and therefore being bad because it's Vanderbilt, from a numbers perspective, Swan had him beat in a decent amount of categories. Now, he wasn't a better runner. By no means was he a better runner than Robbie Ashford. But that's the situation. I think Swan, there's an argument to be made. Now, Brady Cook is somebody who passed for 2,700 yards, who completed 64.8% of his passes, who had a 14-7 touchdown interception ratio. But man, this kid did not impress me last year. I think the fact that he had a couple of solid receivers on the outside to kind of take him out of situations was nice. I don't think that Cook is going to be the answer to anything significant. Whenever I say significant, I mean 8, 9, 10 win seasons for Missouri in the future. I don't think he's going to be the reason. He is, and I don't want to use this word, but I can't think of anything better. He is somewhat of a game-managing quarterback. They're not asking him to be elite. We got to see it firsthand last year whenever he came to Auburn. There were several times in that game where he had the opportunity to take advantage, and only in the waning moments did a wild pass deep find its mark. He was not consistent. He wasn't. To be fair, neither was Ashford, neither was A.J. Swan. So you look at these SEC quarterback rankings, I think from a numbers perspective, there is an argument to be made that Ashford maybe could pop up to the top 12. He could move up to number 12, which I know some people may be laughing at that. But at the same time, I think that it's reasonable right now to say that Ashford is in that bottom tier. And there is a projection to be made about whether or not these quarterbacks do get better. And that's the conversation I want to have here to end this episode. Ashford is on paper, and I wrote about this in the article, behind an improved offensive line. Like I said earlier, he's got a better system in quotes. He's got a new staff that knows how to train him better. There is reason to believe that he's going to take a leap in development. But the question is, how big of a leap? And I think that determines, if you're talking about for this fall, where these quarterbacks rank. But Steve LaSan didn't do that. He was ranking his quarterbacks for this spring. He specifically said it was the early power rankings. Or the early power rankings and the early quarterback rankings, I should say. So we give it time. We'll see what happens. But Ashford should be expected to develop. If he doesn't, there are going to be some questions that need to be answered, starting with this staff, and then starting with what they do in the portal next season if they don't get a portal quarterback in this post-spring window, which I believe they will. I don't know who it is, but I believe they will. So that's all my thoughts on that. If you want to check out either of those articles, you can go check them out at auburndaily.com. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow the show on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can check out all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at @LanceDahl_. We'll see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your afternoon, and God bless.